Well, friends, let's briefly bow our heads again. Let's turn to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee that now we can be exposed, O Lord, to thy word preached to us, preached to our hearts. Our Father, we pray, Lord, as the word is proclaimed today, we pray, Lord, for the work of the Holy Ghost to go along with it. We pray that he might bring it to bear upon our hearts, and he also might open our eyes that we might understand these things, and that we might rejoice in them. Oh, gracious God, we pray. Any eyes here, Lord, are still closed, O Lord, to sin and to salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Do open them this morning. There might be rejoicing in such hearts and rejoicing amongst us, Lord, we pray for that. But Lord, show us new things, we pray. Remind us, Lord, of things that we've learned in the past. We might rejoice in these things again, and in thee, and in thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. So do hear us this morning. And help us now, Lord, by the Spirit of grace, for we ask it in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for this morning's message is taken from the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and verses 3 to 6. Verses 3 to 6. Of Ephesians chapter 1. Well, the apostle now writes in his epistle to this Ephesian church, these Ephesian believers, some praise here. Blessed, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, blessed me, blessed you, blessed all true believers in Christ, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Well, dear friends, last Sunday morning, if you were here, it doesn't matter if you weren't here, because I'll just tell you what we looked at last time on a Sunday morning. Last Lord's Day morning, we commenced looking together at this epistle of the Apostle Paul's, his epistle to the Ephesians. We just made a start. We looked at the first three verses of the first chapter. And in them we saw that he wrote to this Ephesian church and to these Ephesian believers about a number of things, about three things, about three or four things. The first thing was that he mentions about himself, the author or the writer of this epistle. He tells them who his name was. His name was Paul. It once had been Saul of Tarsus, before he became a Christian. But since he became a Christian, he was known as Paul, the Apostle Paul. So he tells them about his name, Paul also about his office. Again, since he had been called by grace and called into the ministry and called as an apostle, he was an apostle of the Gentiles, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so, in other words, right at the very beginning of this letter or this epistle, he's stamping a divine authority upon it. He's basically saying to them, this is not just a letter that's coming from me to you, but this is a letter that's coming from God to you. That is a divine authority. Go along with it, because it's God-breathed. It is something that has been inspired through the Apostle Paul. So he mentions first of all about himself in verse 1. And then secondly, he describes themselves, also in the first verse. They are the readers or the recipients of this epistle. And they, like him, they were true believers, they were saints, but they were in Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus that Paul visited a number of times in his missionary journeys. So they, like him, they were saints, just in the the meaning that they were true believers, they were born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was also writing to those who were in Ephesus and those around that city who were the faithful in Christ Jesus. Those who had believed in Christ and those who were in Christ who were seeking to be faithful to him and faithful to his truth and faithful to his gospel. So a little bit about themselves in verse 2. Also, he writes in verse 2 about the God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And their greeting to this church, indeed their greeting to all the churches, their greeting to you if you're a Christian here this morning. Their greeting is what is a friendly greeting. It is a greeting of grace and peace. And we reminded ourselves, encouraged ourselves that every time that we come to our fellowship, every time we go to church, every time we come before God in prayer and in worship, if we're Christians, we have this friendly greeting from them to us, a greeting of grace and a greeting of peace toward us because we are in Jesus Christ. And the fourth and the final thing that we looked at last time in verse 3 was to do with the epistle letter itself and the subject of it, what it is all about, that it's about all these spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We read a little bit earlier on from Deuteronomy chapter 28 and some of the natural blessings that God bestowed upon his ancient people, the Jews, for their obedience to him. But if you and I are obedient to the gospel, if we repent of our sins and if we believe in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are those who receive all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We might be financially poor in this world, but if we're Christians, we are spiritually very rich, very wealthy indeed. Somebody just recently won a great deal of money, didn't they, on the lottery. A huge amount of money. Well, my dear friends, if you're in Christ, you have a spiritual fortune that is yours already. And in the life to come, life eternal. So those were the things that we were looking at last time concerning Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. This morning for our message or sermon, we come into verses 3 to 6. And in verses 3 to 6, the apostle here is writing to these Ephesian believers, to the Ephesian church, about a little bit more about all of these spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ. And again, there are four things about them that he writes them about. In verse 3, he tells us about the one or the person who bestows them upon his people and upon his church. And then in verses 3 to 6, then he mentions the one by, in, or through whom they are bestowed, and that they're only bestowed in and through that particular person. And in verses 4 and 5, he gives the reason why they are only bestowed upon some and not upon others. In other words, my dear friends, these blessings aren't everybody's. They are only those who truly repent of their sins and truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the reason why some do that and not others in verses 4 and 5. And then finally, fourthly, in verses 4 and 6, the Apostle Paul gives some of the reasons why these spiritual blessings are bestowed. It's the reasons that what they lead on to, the effect of them, that they lead on to our sanctification, to our seeking to be blameless and seeking to be holy in our Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody becomes a Christian, they begin to pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So this is what we're looking at this morning in these verses, Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, about all these spiritual blessings, these four things about them. So let's look at the first one. The person or the being who bestows or sheds these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ upon all Christians. Who is it? Well, the apostle describes him here as, he describes him as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3 there in the first chapter. Paul is full of praise, isn't he? He is glorying in this God for doing this to him, for bestowing upon him and bestowing upon his people all these things. He is praising God for it. Blessed be who? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first person of the Trinity, the first person of the Godhead, God the Father. He is the one who has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what is it that this tells us about these spiritual blessings, if it is he that has bestowed them upon his church and upon his people? Well, four things. The first thing is this, that therefore, that these blessings, they are not natural blessings. Notice these are spiritual blessings. There are natural blessings that people are blessed with when they come into this world, but the distinction here is between natural and spiritual. These are not natural blessings that are bestowed upon everybody by God when we are born into this world. But dear friends, I'm sure that as a result of you coming into this world, have been born into the world, God has given you certain natural gifts, certain natural talents, certain natural skills. But this is not what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here. Such, you know, different gifts like that, natural gifts, are given to everybody in some degree or another. But he's not dealing with this here. These are not natural blessings that is bestowed upon everybody by God when we are born and when we're brought into this world. Secondly, they are also not spiritual blessings that are earned from God by us in any way whatsoever, by keeping his law, by doing good works, by who we are, by what we've been, by what we are, by what we become in the future, in any way in this world. Be very careful about that. This gospel, my dear friend, is not about works. We don't earn our salvation. We can't earn our way into the favor of God. These spiritual blessings are not earned from him. The one who's paid for them is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the way that they come to us is through faith. It's in through faith in Christ, but it's all of grace. It's all of God's unmerited and undeserved favor toward us. So never think that these are spiritual blessings that you can get from God, that you can receive from God as a result of who you are or by what you do. They're not earned. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. These things are not earned from him by us in any way. Thirdly, also, they're not spiritual blessings that can be inherited by any of us or by anybody. Neither can they be transferred to us from anybody, from anyone else in this world. If you're a young person that is here this morning, don't think that you can become a Christian, that you can begin to receive these spiritual graces and these gifts from God because your mother or your father is a Christian, or your grandfather or your grandmother is a Christian. These things are not inherited. Grace is not an inherited thing. It is something that we must receive for ourselves, personally and also individually. They're not inherited from anybody else. And as we grow up, they can't be transferred from anybody else either. No, no, my dear friends, these things, the source of these things, the fountain of these things, is God himself. And he must bestow them upon us. So fourthly, they are spiritual blessings that are freely and graciously and sovereignly bestowed upon us in their entirety by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when, not when we're born into this world, but when we are born again into the kingdom of God. When we enter into it through the new birth, and when we see the kingdom of God as a result of this birth, which is from above, birth from heaven, birth from God, birth as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit that is within us. And when we're born again, and we begin to receive these blessings, my dear friend, we receive them all. We have them all in Jesus Christ. We become instantly rich. Like I said, that man, or that person, or that people who are involved in a syndicate that received all that money in the lottery, they became instantly rich. And the moment you believe, the moment you're born again, you become instantly spiritually rich in Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this commentator commentating on this verse, on this point here in Ephesians 1. He wrote, "But when he gives somebody the blessings of that world, the blessings of the heavenly world, of the spiritual world, he gives him all the blessings that that world contains. Believers, if you're a believer this morning, believers are boundlessly rich. Even when poor in this world's goods, they have received all the riches that heaven contains, freely, divinely, sovereignly bestowed upon them, given to them by a boundless giver, one who gives and gives and gives again, our loving Heavenly Father, such a generous giver, such a boundless giver toward us." So my dear friend, as you sit there this morning, let me ask you, has this person, has this great person, the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, has he bestowed these spiritual blessings upon you? Can you remember a time when they were not yours and you were spiritually poverty stricken, spiritually bankrupt? But then God began to deal with you. He convicted you of your sin. You repented of your sin. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You looked at Jesus Christ and you lived. And God bestowed upon you, began to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He immediately justified you by faith. He began to sanctify you by his Spirit. You began to persevere in the Christian life. He adopted you into his family. And you have all these things in Christ Jesus. Has he blessed you with these things? Because you either have them all or you have nothing at all. Either hands, your hands and hearts are full with these things, or they're totally and utterly empty. It's all or nothing. The Christian gospel is an all or nothing thing. So that is the one who bestows these things upon his people, God the Father. Second thing we have here in verses 3-6. It's interesting that the apostle mentions the Father here in this verse, but in verses 3-6, he dwells much upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the person by, in, or through whom these things come to us. And my dear friend, let me emphasize to you this morning that these blessings only come through this person. They come in no other way. There is no other way to be saved. There's no other way to receive spiritual blessings except by believing in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. There's no other way to the Father but by him. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to receive all these blessings except through faith in Christ. No, there's no other Savior. There's no other salvation in any other religion, world religion, whatever. It is only in this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So who do they come to us through? Well, they come to us through Christ. Verse 3, "Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Paul repeats his name again in verse 4. They are in him. As far as Paul is concerned, there's only one him, and that is Christ. As he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, to this end that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Who is this him? It is Jesus Christ, verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then finally in verse 6, who is Jesus Christ? He is the beloved, the one who is loved of the Father, and the one who is loved of his people. And they loved him because he first loved them. So he is the beloved of God, the beloved of angels, the beloved of his church and his people, because all these blessings come to them through him, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted before the Father. Even sinners before a holy God were accepted in and only in the beloved. So what is it that then this teaches us about these blessings? See what the fact that they come from the Father, what that teaches us about them. But they come through the Son. What does this teach us about these things? Well, the first thing it teaches us is that they are bestowed by Christ. by the Father, but because of the work of the Son. And what is the work of the Son? How were they procured? Well, they were procured by his perfect life of obedience to God's holy law. And he had to do that for you. And he had to do that for me. Because we're all sinners. And we've all broken God's law. We've broken it and we have not kept it. And so that is why God sent his Son into this world. That is why he came. He came, we read in Galatians chapter 4, he came under the law, didn't he? Why did he do that? Why did he submit himself to that? In order to obey the law, in order to keep the law in our place. So that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, might be ours. That we might be accepted before a righteous God in Jesus Christ. Because his righteousness, his obedience becomes ours. It's imputed to us. So his blessings come to him because of his perfect life of love. And obedience to God's holy law. And it was perfect obedience for us. It had to be. And secondly, these blessings were procured because they were procured by his sin-atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. The most important person is Christ. The most important place is that cross. Because there, my dear friends, Christ, he bore our sin and he took our curse. He was cursed in our place for us. He took the divine punishment for our sins upon himself. And he did all that. Why? So that God may justly bless you. Because of our sin, we're under God's curse. But God can turn that curse into a blessing when we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. But it's all because of what he has done. His perfect life of obedience. His sin-atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. It has all been done by our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder, my dear friends, that the Apostle Paul mentions him in verse 3, that he mentions him in verse 4, he mentions him in verse 5, he mentions him in verse 6, he mentions him whenever he possibly can. He's always writing about him. He's always speaking about him and preaching about him because Christ means everything to him. And the cross means everything to Paul. God forbid. He said in Galatians 6 and verse 14 that I should glory, save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Which the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. These things come to us, bestowed upon us, because of the work of Christ. Now they also, this also teaches us that these things are bestowed not only by him because of what he's done, but they are bestowed, and as I mentioned before, all of these blessings, like justification, God making us right in his sight, accepted in Christ. Our sanctification, God delivering us from sin's power and pollution in our lives. Being adopted into God's family, his becoming our father, our becoming his children. Our persevering to the end of our Christian lives. We have all of these things and all of them are bestowed in Jesus Christ. If we are in Christ, we have all these things in him. One of the ways in which this has been illustrated in the past is by those Russian dolls. You know, the Russian dolls that you can get, and there's one doll inside of another. And so there's one right in the middle, which is very small, and they get bigger and bigger until you get the one that is on the outside. Well, just imagine that the one right in the middle, the smallest one, let us call that doll Perseverance. That is one of the blessings, one of the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. But why is it that you and I persevere as Christians to the end of our Christian journeys? Well, it's because God sanctifies us. That's the next doll. And why is it that God sanctifies us? Because he adopts us into his family. That is the next one. Why is it that God adopts us? Because he justifies us. That is the next doll. But then the one that is biggest of all and that incorporates and encompasses all of them is Jesus Christ the Beloved. And so if you are in him, if you have him, all these blessings are yours. They are all in the Beloved. So my dear friends, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It is not as though these things become ours sometime in the future. We have them now. We're justified now. God is sanctifying us now. He's causing us to persevere now. We're going to be glorified together with Christ. It's certain. Because we are in him. All these blessings are ours now. And the other thing here is that they are bestowed by Christ through his work. They are all in him and they come to us through him. We mentioned a little bit earlier on that these things are not earned. These are not wages for works that we do. These things are received as a result of our believing in or receiving Christ by faith alone. It's not what we do by which we get them. We have them through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear friend, as we come to the end of this second point, let me ask you this question. Have all these things been lavished upon you? Have they been bestowed upon you? The riches of God's grace by, in, or through the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you sitting there thinking, well, I am blessed because of somebody else. I'm blessed for another reason. I'm blessed because of what I've done. No, a Christian sits in church thinking to himself, I have and I only have all these spiritual blessings purely through Jesus Christ. They're by him because of his work. They're all in him and they've come because God has had mercy upon me. He's given me the grace to look and to rely and to rest and to trust in his dear son, Jesus Christ. So that's the person through whom they come. A third heading this morning for you is this. Why do they come to us? Why me? You could say there. Why not somebody else? We say they don't come to everybody. Well, why is that? This is something that very often troubles Christians. But what we must do, my dear friends, we must lock or shut ourselves down to the revealed will of God here and accept and submit ourselves to its revelation and teaching. The reason why these blessings are bestowed upon some and not others, why is it? Well, it is because of the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ's choice, election, or predestination of some people in Christ even before the foundation of the world. I can understand why somebody who's not a Christian wrestles with this. But my dear friend, if you are somebody who is a Christian, has been born again, surely as a result of that, we submit ourselves. We shut ourselves down to the revealed will of God. And when we look at verses 4 and 5 here, it says, the reason why I come to repentance, the reason why I come to faith in Jesus Christ, and all these things become mine, it is because before the world began, we sang it at the beginning of the meeting, God set his love upon me, and God sovereignly chose me, and elected me, predestined me to these things. Listen to these verses. According as he has chosen us. It's there, my dear friends, right before you. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will. It is because of God's sovereign and divine election. Well, listen to John Calvin on this. Great authority. He wrote, the foundation and first cause, both of our calling and of all the benefits that we receive from God, is here declared to be his eternal election. If the reason is asked why God has called us to enjoy the gospel, while he daily bestows upon us so many blessings, why he opens to us the very gate of heaven, the answer will be constantly found in this principle, that he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. The very time when the election took place proves it to be free. For what could we have deserved, or what merit did we possess before the world was made? But my dear friend, accept this and appreciate the authority of it, not just because John Calvin wrote about this. He was just writing about what he found in his New Testament scriptures. And it's that revelation that we're to submit ourselves to We just seek to think these things through, but to submit ourselves to the revealed will of God in this and rejoice in it. To think that God thought about us. We were in his thoughts. And he wrote our names in his book, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Set his love upon us. Chose Christ to be our surety, our saviour. All before the world began, he chose us, he elected his people, and he predestined us to eternal life. It's a wonderful thing to think that our salvation stretches from eternity past and to eternity future, where we're going to spend it with God in heaven. Well, a final thing this morning is this. Two reasons why these things come to us. Why does God bless us? Well, the first reason is this, so that you and I might be to the praise of the glory of his grace when he's made us accepted in the beloved. What does that mean? It means this, that we might praise God throughout all not only in time, but throughout all eternity, not only for his power, not only for his might and for his strength and all his other attributes, but to be able to praise him for his grace, for his unmerited, undeserved favour or kindness toward us in Jesus Christ, in saving us from all of our sins, to be able to do this not only on earth temporarily, but also in heaven eternally. That is why, that's one of the reasons God has done this. To save you, for you to experience grace and to understand grace and to come to rejoice in God for this and to worship him for it and to praise him in time for it and to praise him throughout all eternity for his great grace. Something the angels of God have not experienced, but you have. You've tasted that God is a gracious and a loving and a kind and a merciful God. Well, therefore, he wants you to praise him and worship him now in time, but throughout the eternal ages, to praise him for the glory and the greatness of his grace towards you. And also he bestows these things upon us so that you, my dear friend, might be holy and without blame, even before him in love. There's two things there, isn't there? There's the negative side and the positive side. The negative side is this, so that you might increasingly, as a believer, be less and less like this sinful, fallen world out of which he's called you. Less like that, blameworthy, sinful, godless in this world. And one day totally to be without blame in that eternal world which is to come. It's the negative side, isn't it? God blesses us so that we might be no longer like this world. But he also does it so that positively we might be more and more like the very one who bestows these blessings upon us. That we might be holy as he is holy, still in the world, but set apart, separated from this world, to be like him and one day to be perfectly holy. And again, in that eternal world which is to come. So in other words, our being justified. Well, then in and of itself, God does deliver us from the guilt of our sin, but then he begins to deliver us from sin's power and pollution in our lives. He breaks the power of sin in our lives. He breaks these things in order that we might be more and more like him, because he's preparing us. Well, he's not only preparing us for service, we might serve him well in this world and be good witnesses for him in this world, but he's preparing us to be with him. And heaven is a holy place. And if you're not a Christian, you're not going to be home there. But if you are a Christian, God is preparing you to feel very much at home, to be holy in that glorious place and to be there forever and forever. So are these the reasons why they've been bestowed upon you by him? Well, my dear friend, they are. And there's no heaven without holiness. No being a Christian without being less and less like this world. So, my dear friend, we've looked at these things this morning from Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 6 about all these spiritual blessings. And the last two things that I've mentioned, the end to which these things are bestowed upon us, are that we might praise God for his grace as that you and I might be holy. And these last two things are the two main themes of the rest of this letter. God's grace in the first three chapters of it, and practical holiness in the last three. And these are the things that we need to work out, God willing, the next few Sunday mornings. The greatness of God's grace toward us, and God making us holy as he is holy. Amen.